The Lord has laid on my heart a concept for a while now. It's not a foreign concept, it's called honor. And what does honor mean? How do we relate to honor and how do we give honor? It's very interesting. Honor literally means to esteem, to value, or to have great respect. Now, to honor someone is to value him highly and to bestow great value upon him. In showing honor, literally means that we're treating another person respectfully because we value them highly. That's really what honor is. We esteem somebody, we value somebody greater than ourselves, and therefore we respect and we deal with them accordingly because of the value that we place upon them. And that's really what honor is. And it is so interesting, even in this week, as Madiba has passed away, and we all know that we have, in a sense, lost an icon. The world has lost an icon. The father of our nation, as many put it, a great leader, a great man, and a great statesman. Someone that has left a legacy and an example that we trust many will follow. A role model in a time and in a place that is so hard to find. And I've noted so many people from all over the world are sending in their tributes and their honor to this man who is no longer alive. He is no longer alive. Yet now we honor him. In his absence, we honor him. I realize that honor given has far greater value when the person is still alive than when he's dead. Honor has far greater value to that person when he is still alive. Wouldn't you agree? And ironically, we as humans, we tend to give our greatest compliments and our greatest honor to those who have died at their funeral. We bestow on them great honor. We speak of how awesome they were. And so many times as I'm at funerals, I wonder if these people ever shared that with that person while he was still alive. And how much value that would have meant to that person when they were still alive. Honor is not just emotional. It's more than just an attitude towards somebody. It's something we say and something we do. It's far more than just a regard for someone. It is also reflected in how we speak and how we act towards that person. You know, I always advise young couples when they prepare for their wedding day, especially around the ceremony, there's always two things that I advise as a suggestion. And one of them is simply this, that you have such an awesome opportunity to publicly bless and honor your parents. Please take great care in doing so. And some of them had parents that maybe were not so honorable. Their actions. And maybe they've gone through a divorce and maybe they've been hurt themselves, and I plead with them, find something to honor your parents. And some of us were fortunate, we had an amazing family that we grew up in and we had awesome parents, and I plead with them, please honor your parents. Because the next opportunity that you're going to have to publicly honor your parents will be at their funeral. So while they're still alive, make use of this opportunity and be very thoughtful and very explicit in thanking and honoring your parents in the presence of all these witnesses and families, and make it something great, make it something to be remembered as you honor them for what they've invested in your life, what you have learned from them, what you have received, but make it a great occasion. Honor them now because the next opportunity is going to be at their funeral. And what you do today is going to mean to them the world. But what you do at the funeral is too late. And so sadly, I see a nation in the world sending their tributes and their honor to a man that is no longer alive. To honor and to esteem, to value, to have great respect, to honor someone is to value him highly and to bestow great value upon him. Showing honor then means treating another person respectfully because we value them highly. But honor is not only a great emotion, it's not just having great regard to someone. It's also what we say and what we do. We know that so well. In Exodus, we read of this concept of honoring. Exodus 20 verse 12, we know it so well. God says in the Ten Commandments, He says and He declares and He commands to honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God has given us or given you. And then in Deuteronomy 5 verse 16, He says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Isn't that powerful? God says that we need to honor our parents. And honor, we all know in that context, is more than just a regard for. It's more than just the way we speak to. It's also how we react and how we live and how we do towards them. We all understand as children that that honor means that we need to obey. Doesn't that mean that? When Scripture says that you must honor your mother and father, it's not just having high regard for them, but it's also to obey them. And in your obedience to them, you are honoring them. So obedience is a reflection also for children of honoring. And what I'm trying to bring across is that honoring is not just a feeling. It's not just a great regard for someone. It is the way we react, the way we say and what we do towards someone is honoring. As children, honoring towards our parents is not only in our regard, but our obedience to them. And when we're young, it is obedience. And when our parents grow older, that honoring changes somewhat, doesn't it? When we ourselves are married and we have our own families and we're living our own lives, honoring changes a little bit towards our parents as they become older and frailer. Then honoring changes in giving care and supporting and helping our parents. And that's also a challenge. Maybe as much as it was for us when we were young to obey our parents, it can also be equally challenging to support and to love and to take care of our parents when they are no longer as fit and strong and able as they used to be. When they were the providers in our life, the tables turn and we become the providers in their life. Honoring them is looking after them. That's what God expects of us. Not just as children, but also as adults. Not only that, but let's read what the New Testament has to say about this particular portion of Scripture here in Ephesians 6 from verse 1 to 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Just in case we misunderstood what honor means in the fifth commandment. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Isn't that powerful? It's interesting, the Word of God highlights the fact, in case we missed it. It highlights something very interesting and very important. In case we missed it the first time when we looked at the Great Commandments, it says here, which is the first commandment of promise. In other words, it highlights the fact that as we are commanded by God to honor our parents, there is a promise connected to it. As a matter of fact, the New Testament declares it so powerfully. This is the first commandment with a promise. It says that if you honor your parents, you will be blessed. It's very powerful, honoring. Very powerful as God connects a promise to honoring our parents. But I believe this promise transcends the individual. I believe it's also for a society. You know what? A society that is built on a solid unit of family. If family is the foundation of every society, imagine what honor in that family unit transcends within the culture and the society. If we learn to honor our parents, we set ourselves up to honor each other. And that is what is so powerful. If we know how to honor mom and dad, the society will know how to conduct itself honorably. If we do not know how to honor mom and dad, we will not know how to live and conduct ourselves in an honorable way, I believe. And that's why family is so powerful, and that's why honor within the family is so powerful. Because as we learn to honor mom and dad, we learn to honor each other. So honoring others comes very easy for children that was raised up to honor their parents. Have you noticed that before? Any teachers here? It's very interesting how you can see what is reflected in a little man's life or a little girl's life as they grow up based on what happened at home and what is happening at home. And you can see that if children grew up in an environment where they were taught to honor their parents, how easy it is for them to honor the teacher. But show me any child that has complete dishonor and disrespect for his parents, I can guarantee you they'll have the same towards the teacher. And that's why honoring is such a powerful principle. Not just for us as individuals, but for our entire society. A society that honors its parents will conduct itself honorably. Therefore, God says in Exodus 20, He says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. God states no qualifier. He doesn't tell us to only honor our parents that are honorable. God makes no loopholes. He just says that we must honor our parents. He doesn't say only honor the parents that are honorable. Only honor your parents if they live righteously. Only honor your parents if they love you. Now God says honor your parents. It doesn't matter whether they live honorably or not. We need to honor them simply because they are our parents, and we must treat them with respect because of who they are, not of what they do, but the position that they have. I remember when I was in the army, we were taught you do not salute the person, you salute the rank. It helped me a lot because I trained many of the officers. I knew who they were. And for some I had great respect, and for others I didn't. But the office didn't change. I never saluted the person, I saluted the office. That helped me tremendously. And God is saying the same thing. You have parents that is filling an office. You must honor that office. You must honor them. Granted, honoring parents can be very difficult. If a father is a drunk, or the mother is continually stealing and lying and deceiving people, it can be very difficult, I know. But God calls us to honor our parents, no matter who they are. Their actions may sometimes be dishonorable, but because they are mom and dad, we must honor them. We must respect them. And that honor and respect is not just a feeling, it is the way we talk and what we say and what we do. This commandment has no loopholes. So I think it's good from time to time that we need to take stock of our own hearts towards our parents. Do we honor them? Are we at odds with Dad? Are we still angry with Mom over something that she's done? Is there still unforgiveness and pain and bitterness within us when we think of Mom and Dad? I think it's good from time to time just to stop and to reflect on where we're at. And then to turn to them and to seek forgiveness, to extend forgiveness, to heal, to restore, to love, and to honor them. That's so powerful. When was the last time that you really honored your father and your mother? I was really challenged while I was preparing this. And when is the last time that you really honored your parents? If you still have parents here, I'm speaking to those of us who still have parents, for the young and the less young. But when last did you really honor your father and your mother? Through the things you say. I want to challenge you, the things that you were going to write and say on their funeral day, please say it to them while they're still alive. Please go to them and tell them and thank them for what they've invested in your life and what they've done. And if it's difficult, ask God to show you something to thank them for, because you will find a lot. So I want to encourage you to honor your parents. But honor extends beyond our parents. It extends towards their generation and the generation that has gone before us. Honor is not just for our parents, but it's really for those who have gone before us, those who share in their generation. Leviticus 19 verse 32 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. And fear your God, for I am the Lord." Isn't that powerful? I'll read that again. "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. And fear your God, I am the Lord." It's very interesting. God puts these two together in the same sentence. You notice that? He says in the one side that you will honor the elderly and you will fear me. He puts it in the same sentence. It's almost as if God is saying, as you recognize, as you fear, as you have reverence for me, because you fear and you have reverence for me, honor the elderly. Do you see that? It's so powerful because God is saying, He's trying to convey something here that is not just a good idea. God is conveying something of who He is and how He expects us to deal with one another. And He's saying, when the elderly come into your presence, you stand out of respect. And you treat them with honor. For they have gone before you. That's very challenging. The truth is, we will never sincerely respect, prize, value, and honor anyone until and unless we start with an attitude of weakness and meekness within us. An attitude of meekness, not weakness, but meekness. It's so difficult to honor somebody if you've got this mightier than thou, holier than thou, this boastful attitude that you have arrived. It's very difficult to honor somebody when you think you're better than everybody. We can truly come to this place of honoring someone else when we have come to a place of meekness, when we realize who we are in light of the eternal God. That we were all sinners. And that if we were to stand before God based on who we are, we would fail terribly and we would face His judgment. rightfully, but because of His grace, because of His love through Jesus Christ, we have been accepted not because of anything we have done, but because what He has done. And that our salvation is based on Him and not on us, and that we are saved because of Him. That makes me humble. And then I realized that if I had to stand on my own character, on my own way of life, I would fail miserably before God. And I realized that I am nothing in front of Him if it was not for His Son, through whom I have gained an inheritance and an acceptance into the family of God. And I have a new identity because of Christ. That makes me humble and meek. And I think it's so important for us when we approach people to realize that. Don't forget that. Because if we think we're better than others, it will be very difficult to show honor. You know, we can learn a lot from those who lived before us. This week was the Golden Youth's farewell. And as an introduction, I just briefly shared, and I really believe this. I really value those who've gone before me. And as a young man, you know what, most of my time I've ministered to students and young people, and it's great, you know. It's lovely to minister to students. You know, they're young, they just finished school, they're starting their studies, the world is their oyster. Nothing is impossible. They are going to change the world. You know that zeal? Who of you are still there? There's some of you there. I see that. That's great. That's awesome. We don't want to destroy that. And it's so easy. And it's so lovely. And it is so exciting to minister to students, because whatever you tell them, they can do. And they're so passionate. They're so full of zeal. And they run this race with a great expectation, and they're going to conquer the world, they're going to change the world, and then they hit the first pothole. And then the wheels come off and the cart falls over, and it's a faith crisis. Because my boyfriend dumped me, or... And then I look at the elderly, and I really want to honor the elderly here today for running the race and still running it. You know what an inspiration it is for young people? I don't think you realize. Because you have not just hit potholes. You've gone through floods, through fires, over mountains. And you're still following God. You have seen the worst of life, you've seen the best of life, and you are still following God. You know what that means to me? Gives me hope. And I just want to say, I love the gray hairs in this church. Because of that. Because I can see in you a tenacity and endurance that I want. I want to finish my race the way you do. I want to be able in 40 years from now still follow God. And I can see it in you. And I want to thank you for that. Don't ever think you don't have a value. Don't think you no longer have anything to contribute. You have run the race and you are so close to finishing it. No, you are. But I hear you. For many of us, we still have a 40, 50, 60 years to go. And you know what? We don't know. But we can see you running it. And you're running it strong. We need that. You know what? Because the youth, the young people, we will run this race with great speed when that gun goes off. And like they say, the first pothole, we just go off the track, man. And then we need somebody to come alongside us and say, it's okay. It's okay. I've been there. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for still running this race. I want to thank you for your example. Because that means a lot, far more than you think. Can I ask you to stand? If you are, sorry for doing this, but if you're above 50, which means you're gray, if you can stand, if you're above 50, if you can just stand, please, if you can stand. Oh, let's make it 50, you know, because let's just give them a hand, you know. These people are still running the race. And they've been through hell and back, and they're still running. I want to thank you guys. And you guys that are seated, take a look at them. No, I'm serious. Take a look at who they are. Because these are the people that God is calling us to honor. This is the generation that has gone before us. And God calls us to honor them. I want you to look at them because I want to encourage you to go visit them. To invite them to your home. And to go visit them. And to ask them about life. And to ask them about running this race. And once you finish having your meal and just before you leave, ask these people to bless you. Ask them for their blessing. Because they have been running this race. And they're still running it. I only encourage you, ask them to bless you. To pray for you. To lay hands on you. And to speak a blessing over you. Because it's going to change your life. Thank you so much for standing. We want to honor you. Is Tani Francis here? Did she make it? She didn't make it today. Who of you know Tani Francis? Okay. There's lots of you that do not know Tani Francis. Do yourself a favor. Go visit Tani Francis. She lives in Hayes. What is that place now? Fynbos Park. 33. You can ask Luzelle. Just give her a call before you come. But she won't mind even if you just do. But go visit Tani Francis. And then ask her. Ask her about her relationship with Jesus. Ask Tani Francis. You will not leave that place the same. You won't. Ask about marriage. Lizelle, how many years have she been married? 67 years. Go ask Tani Francis. Young ladies, do yourself. You will get better marriage counseling than I can ever give you. Go to Tani Francis and ask about marriage. Whether you have a problem or not, you know, you're going to get your potholes and your rivers. And go ask Tani Francis. Your life will be changed. And when you finish there, ask Tony Francis to pray for you. To bless you. You don't just need to be a girl, you guys. You can also go and visit Tony Francis. I want to encourage you, if you're gray, you have such a lot to impart. Do not think you know too little. No, you're still running this race. You know a lot. So I want to encourage the young folk. Go visit the gray folk and ask them for a blessing. Leviticus 19 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. When was the last time that you saw children and young adults stand when an elderly person enters the room? You know, some cultures still do that. In Asia. I mean, we used to do it when we were in school, remember? We used to do it when we were in the army. And I was convicted as I was preparing and God was speaking to me. I no longer do that. Praise God. You do that because there's not a lot of people other than you. But in my world, there's a lot. And God convicted me. Just because my culture no longer does it, why don't I do it? And I mean, standing in the presence, there we've got people from Korea bowing before one another out of respect. And I'm not saying we must bow before, but you understand, there's some cultures that still have this, and you can look at those cultures. I asked myself, why can't I do this? I did it at school. I did it in the army. Why not now? Just because my culture no longer does it, maybe I must start. Just simply standing when an elderly person comes into my presence. Stand up from my chair and greet them. Stand up from my chair and give them a hug or give them a handshake. Acknowledge them, honor them. Not for the sake of my culture, but for the sake of God. Because it's He that says it. It's His idea. It's His desire. It's His dream. I mean, imagine a society where everybody honors the elderly. I mean, can you imagine? That's God's heart. That we, the younger people, will turn to the elder and honor them. Can you imagine the ripple effect it will have in our society? Even more important than this practical action of standing is the attitude of respect. It's an attitude of respect towards the elderly. Or should I just say the generation that has gone before us? So go visit them, invite them, and honor them. Ask them for a blessing. You know, Malachi 4 verse 6, God says, in the last time, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. You know, last Sunday while we were worshiping, I saw a vision, and I think I shared the word, just of this great city with great walls and great gates. And then the multitudes in the outside. And when those gates open and the invitation is given, how the youth in their zeal jump up and run. But they're running in all different directions. And the city is that side, but they're just running because they can. And then how the wise, the elderly, the gray, took them by hand and say, no, let me show you the way. Let me show you the direction. And how both of them, hand in hand, go through the gate into the city. You know what? We need each other. We need each other. But today I'm speaking more to the young, those who still have lots of zeal, who still wants to run. Take a hand of somebody that's been there. And let them direct you, help you to get there. They need you as much as you need them. We should turn to one another, the younger to the elder, to receive the baton. Now, I'm not, please don't miss anything. I'm not saying it's afgeskryf and it's verby. But you've been running this race. You have learned. You have experience. And there's a younger generation that needs to learn. It needs to take that momentum, that what you have established. You need to hand that over to them. Don't think you've got nothing to give. You've got a lot to give. But the younger, you must turn to the elder because they've got something to impart into your life that is far more precious than what you can ever think or imagine. And I want to encourage you, if you're younger, go to the elder and ask them for this baton. Don't try and run this race all over again. Learn from their mistakes. If you're an older man or an older woman, turn to the younger and pass on that baton. Speak to them, impart, pray a blessing over them, encourage them. Pass on the legacy that you have started with and teach them the lessons that you have learned. Tell them about your mistakes so that they don't make the same ones. Impart into them your life and your failures so that they can run with your legacy even faster than you did. That they don't have to make the same mistakes all over again. That they don't have to face the same challenges. And if they do, at least they know the shortcut. And they don't need to waste time trying to find one. Because when they get there, they will remember what Tony Francis said. So impart into them. Hand over that what you've learned in life and speak a blessing over them. Do not fall for the lie that you have nothing to add. You have a lot to do, so. And I want to encourage you, when young people come to you, when they invite you to have a meal with them, when they ask to come to your house, open your house to them. Invite them in and bless them. Don't let them leave without praying for them, even if they didn't ask you, because sometimes it's so difficult for them to do so. Stop them and say, I want to pray for you. And I want to impart into you some of my life, my race that I've been running. I can see the finish line, you don't. But I want to impart something to you so that you can run faster, straighter, with greater momentum. So that when you one day, my age, you can do the same. So that the generation coming after you will run even faster than you are. We should start thinking like that. Imparting what we have received. I know this may be difficult if your own children did not honor you. And I know it might be difficult if you still have children that is not honoring you. I just want to say, don't give up on them. Don't give up on your children. Even though they dishonor you, don't give up praying for them. And when they're with you, blessing them. And if you no longer have children, I want to declare to you, there's a whole generation in this building that needs you. That needs that blessing. If your own children does not want to receive it, don't think it's because of the blessing that you carry. It's not because of you. It's because of their stupidity. And if they don't want it, I do. I do. And there's a lot of people here that wants it too. There's even a lot of young people here that don't have it from their own parents that need you. That desire that you have to impart into your own children that are maybe rejecting you, I want to declare to you there are many people sitting here that don't have fathers and mothers that are imparting into them and they need you. So I want to encourage you, don't turn anybody away. And when they do have coffee with you, don't leave them the same. Impart life to them. One day, we too need to pass on the baton. But we need to learn how it's done. We need to learn how it's done. You must show us. You must show us. Because one day I'm going to be great. And you're going to be gray if you're still young, if you're not gray yet. And people are going to knock at your door and say, Oom Piet, Oom Aubrey, tell me a bit, Oom Aubrey, van jou leven. Tell me a bit van Jesus. Tell me a bit hoe jy Jesus volg. Vertel my, hoekom is jy nog steeds lief vir Jesus? Vertel vir my. Show us how. So that the next generation will run even faster. We need you. As I was reading scripture, it was beginning to become clear to me that honoring goes way beyond respecting God and parents. God wants a world where respect and honor for others is a way of life. Where we respect and honor others as a way of life. You know, that's what Romans 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. We're meant to live a life of honoring. We are to honor one another, but do we? Do we really honor one another? Perhaps we should challenge ourselves to think of ways to show honor to someone. Anyone. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if we can come to a place where we decide that we're going to honor somebody today? Anybody. Whether it's in my workplace, whether it's at my school, whether it's at home. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if all of us decide we're going to honor somebody today? Can you imagine the ripple effect if you go into your workplace and you honor not just the CEO because you want some favor, but you're honoring him because there's an opportunity and you're equally honoring the lady that cleans. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing? We start honoring one another. When was the last time that you actively and constant and consciously honored someone? When was the last time that you actually went out of your way to deliberately honor somebody? Through something that you said, through something that you wrote, or just showing respect? I really believe God wants to impart in us a culture of honoring one another. And not just each other, but the world. I mean, there's so many examples, and we didn't have time this morning to go through all the things that God, and all the persons that God calls us to honor. So I just skipped the government, I just skipped those in authority in church, out of church, and your wife and your husband, and I just gone right to the end where it says we must honor everybody. When last did you thank somebody, or write the letter of appreciation, or call somebody to show respect? You know, honoring one another touches all our generations and all our relationships. If we start to honor one another, it will touch all your relationships. And it will start something. And I want to encourage you to do that because that's really God's heart. God's heart is that we must honor one another. So let's build together a culture of honoring. And I want to encourage you to do that. Don't wait for somebody to die before you write a nice letter. Don't wait. Go honor your parents today. If you still have parents, go honor them today. This is holiday. You're probably with them. Go honor them. Go thank them. Thank them for everything that they have sacrificed for you. Thank them for the good that you see in them. Thank them for the house, the food, the opportunities that you were given. Thank them for their character that you admire. Oh, thank God, bless them. Look for opportunities to honor them. And I just want to honor Mario and Celeste for the legacy. I want to say it now before you die. Not that you're going to die soon. But I want to thank you for what you've done faithfully for 30 years. I want to thank you for investing your life, putting everything on the line, forsaking everything to follow Jesus faithfully, starting off in a campsite for crying out loud with nothing, following your man, Celeste, through all his crazy stuff, and I know he's crazy, and following him, still loving him. Mario, still loving your wife after 30 years in the ministry. Thank you. Thank you for building God's kingdom, his church. Thank you, B5. Thank you for your faith. Thank you. You're an example. I want that blessing. And I want to encourage you, don't wait for people to die to thank them, to honor them. So I'm going to end off there before I start to cry again. Hey, there's a youth event this Sunday. Tonight, 6 o'clock. 20 rand if you're an adult. Come and honor them. It's going to mean the world to them if you pitch. It's going to mean the world to them. And I want to encourage you. It's like this young man that led worship, John Ray. Where is he? Is he still here? Here he is. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Yaku is doing better. He's at home. Carmen is looking after him. He's strengthening. He's lost a lot of weight and he still needs to pick up. But thank you for coming. I just think some of the old guys, we need to pray for him. He's young. He's starting off. Thank you for your sacrifice for coming. Can we have some older men just praying for this guy? Sorry for interrupting this, but can we have some people just laying hands on him? Just bless him. Father, I want to pray as we are here in your presence, God. We want to honor you, Father. We want to honor you because all authority and all power and all life is in your hands, God. And we want to honor you for who you are. You are God, eternal. You are the creator and the sustainer of everything. You are the beginning and the end. You are eternity. And yet, God, in all your power and in your holiness, God, you are so gracious. You are so loving. You are love. You have extended and given your Son. You've given your Son to save us, God. Lord, we want to honor you for giving your life for us. God, we want to honor you for what you have done for us, God, by giving our lives to you, to surrendering our lives to you and say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to thank you for what you have done for me. I want to thank you. I want to honor you by presenting my life to you, God. And I want to live my life in such a way that it will bring honor to you. I want to pray that you will help me, God, to live my life in such a way that it will bring honor to you. That you will be honored because of my life. And while we are praying, if these people here that has never surrendered your life to God, I want to give you an opportunity right now to surrender your life, to honor him for what he has done for you. If you're here and you've never done that, and you want to honor God in such a way by giving him your life, because that's what it's all about, I want to ask you just to quickly raise your hand if that is you. If there's anybody here today, I really believe God wants to speak to somebody. You know about what he has done for you. You know what he's done for you. But you've never responded to him. I want to give you an opportunity today to do just that. To say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. Anybody like that? Just want you to respond by just raising your hand. And Father, I want to pray. I want to pray for those, Father, that are still here today, Lord, that are struggling, God, that are struggling to honor their parents, that are struggling, God, because of pain, because of abuse, God, because of neglect, God, because of not knowing. Father, I just want to pray, Father, that you will come and heal those wounds in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to pray for those who've never been honored by a father, that's never been honored by a mother, that didn't know their father, that didn't know their mother, God. I want to pray, Father, for those wounds, Father God, to heal in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray that you will send your love, God, and your spirit into the hearts of men and women, Lord, that are still broken because of what they did and what they didn't get. Lord, I want to pray just for a healing in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray for those who are still struggling. Lord, if that is you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but God, I just want to pray for those hearts that needs to be healed, that needs to be restored. You can just lift it up and then just drop it again. Father, I want to pray for these individuals, Lord, that are responding. Father, God, I want to pray that you will come by your grace, Lord, that you will come and heal the wounds of parents in the hearts of lions, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I want to pray that you will come and restore a blessing within them. God, I want to pray that you will come and do a new thing within their hearts, Lord. I want to pray for the capacity to forgive, for the capacity to love, God. And Lord, I want to pray for a legacy, that you will impart a legacy of life, God. A legacy of life in each and every person here, God. I want to pray, Father, that they will be able to give and to impart, Lord, what you have given to us. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for a heart of honoring in the young and in the old. For the young to honor and for the old to bless. For the young to reach out and for the old to let go. Lord, I want to pray, Father, that a blessing will flow from one generation to the next, God. And that the next that is following will even run straighter and faster because of what we receive through Jesus Christ and in His name, Lord. So I want to pray, Lord, for families to be reunited, for children to honor their parents, and parents to honor their children. Lord, I want to pray for words of affirmation. Lord, I want to pray for words of exaltation and acknowledgement, Lord. I want to pray that we will learn to honor our parents. And God, I pray that you will give us the capacity, Father, to honor each other. Lord, I want to pray that that capacity that you develop within us in Jesus' name, God, even right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will give us a spirit of honoring one another, esteeming each other above ourselves. Lord, I pray that that same spirit within us, God, will go into this world, Lord, into our workplaces, into our schools, God, and that we will honor our teachers and we will honor our people and that we will honor the lady that cleans, and the lady that makes the food, and the CEO, Lord, and everyone in between. God, I pray that you will give us an opportunity to honor people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. I want to honor you for coming. Thank you. Yes, there's a hand. Is that a thank you hand? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have blessed this nation with a man that despite the things that he suffered, were willing to forgive. God, we want to thank you for a man that was willing to lay down the past and see the future. Thank you, God, that you blessed us with the miracle which this nation probably did not deserve. But God, we want to thank you for this man. God, we want to thank you that in a small way we see something of what you have done for us through your son. God, we want to honor you for your son. That he came and did something that we did not deserve. And that is to give us life and freedom. We want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for giving us your Son. We bless you for that. In Jesus' name.